Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Let's welcome our next guest, Bonnie Park, a longtime Parkite, my neighbor, and now a first-time author with her recently completed book, The Brides of 1941. It's a family history covering three generations of women. The story only became possible after a box of letters was found in the back of a closet, and it's an intimate glimpse into the coming-of-age experiences of the greatest generation. Bonnie, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you so much for having me here, Lynn and Tim.
And great to have you, and know that you sort of started a new chapter in your life, really, becoming a writer. And I understand you're a very wonderful writer. And I heard that. That's word on the street. I ran into Stacy Domalski the other day, who I believe you took. Did you take her class on writing memoirs?
I actually have taken a few things from Stacy. Back in 2012, I took a self-publishing class. And at the time, I had this box of letters that I really hadn't anticipated putting together as a book. But she put me on the spot and said, what are you thinking about writing about? And I was like, I have this box of letters. So it's been sort of a big unfold ever since then. In fact, the last time I was in this studio, I had put together a seminar for the Life Story Library Foundation on writing meaningful memoirs. And we held that at Deer Valley. And I was a volunteer for that nonprofit and had a nice turnout and more inspiration to keep going with my story. So thanks to Stacy, who really recognized the story behind the letters, it is finally here.
Well, that is interesting, the story behind the letters. Talk about what was inside that box. What were the years, the span of years of these letters?
They began 1937-38. And what I believed was just going to be one book is now a trilogy. So this is the first in the trilogy because Stacy Domalski, my editor, pointed out you can't write War and Peace as a first-time author and expect people to read it. So we figured out, the story arcs and the best breaking points. So this one goes from the late 30s right up until 100 days before Pearl Harbor.
Were you surprised to find that there was a story behind the letters? I mean, there must have been a process, and you said you gave Stacy some credit for putting you on the spot, and you kind of threw it out there as whatever was, you just found the box. But there must have been some process in recognizing that there was something besides just letters here. Or when you read them, were you like, wow, there's obviously something here besides just these letters?
You're spot on, because my intention was to transcribe the letters for my family, because you have one box of old letters, and I thought it would be great to just share that with my siblings and nieces and nephews and on down the line. And as I typed the transcription, there just was a story that was there, and it was because my maternal grandparents lived in South America in a mining camp, and they had left my mother and her siblings stateside in 1934. So they were trying to raise their family by letter. And it was just remarkable to me that, my grandmother is giving her maternal advice to her two girls and a son. The themes of education and relationships with money and love and turn off that radio and bring up your grades, those kind of things were real then, as much as they are now.
And how did this box make it into the back of your closet? I mean, my parents right now are in their 80s, and they've just moved, and they did this enormous purge, and I got some things in the mail that they thought would be of sentimental value to me and I might want to keep. But to think that this box of letters made it through the different families, through the different moves, through whatever happens in everybody's lives, and ends up in your closet, that you then, did you discover it, or did you always know that you had it and you were carrying it along?
No, my parents lived in where I was raised in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. They lived in their home for 46 years. And they moved into a retirement community. And at the time they moved, I know it was my now late sister, Diane, who helped them move, who delivered those letters to the back of the closet. And I talk about that in the prologue. Then, after my parents died, and I was cleaning out their personal effects, I found the letters in the closet in their retirement community. And there wasn't much of a financial legacy, in fact, none at all, which is part of the story, from my side of the family. But these letters were the legacy for me, because it's family story, and because I've been involved with looking at personal history and had an interest in that. I found it an opportunity.
So The Brides of 1941 is the title, but it's covering three generations of women. So how did you focus in? What happened in 1941 that was so crucial to the story?
It was the race for women to get married. And so it is my dad was at Princeton. My mom was at Smith. So it's an Ivy League story. By the time they met, my mother was still at Smith. My dad was a Princeton graduate, class of 1939. He was at Columbia Law. And then that's when they connected and fell in love. But going through my mother's experience with her relationships with men and how dating occurred back there then was so interesting. She had what she called the man score. And she talked about the Ivy Leaguers and all the parties. And yet she fell in love with a Montana cowboy in 1939 because she was there in the summertime. And she had a townie boyfriend that at one point she thought she was going to marry. So it's just a love story that way that sees it through to the end. And then the rush to marry, there was a lot of dancing around when they were going to get married. They thought it was going to be December of 1941. Well, then they pushed it up to June of 1941. My dad was had enlisted, and he was actually participating in something that was a discovery to me, but the maneuvers preparing the U.S. troops for the Second World War. He was in the New England maneuvers. Later, he went to the Carolina maneuvers. These were huge, huge endeavors to build the military might of the American forces leading up to Pearl Harbor. So there's a lot of spoon-fed history in this, mm-hmm. Both military and just like I say, the relationships and the universal themes that we all live.
From those letters that your mother wrote, what were your, it was a very tumultuous time in world history. How much did world history and the preoccupation with that permeate those letters, or was it just the concentration on finding a husband?
Everybody was listening to the radio, and I also, among the letters, came up with my mother's five-year diary, and so she had little notes based on what she had heard on the radio that day, that, you know, this or that happened, and then I dive in and do a little bit more research and talk about whatever, you know, when the London Blitz, for instance, happened, all that. I add that history to it because it's so interesting to me. But while she was at Smith, I'll just read you this one quote. They used to have just amazing people come speak to these young women at Smith. And so Mrs. Roosevelt came. And my mother wrote to my husband, or my dad, and said, "Well, Mrs. Roosevelt is coming to visit campus, and that's no great news, I guess," or something along those lines. So,
wow.
So after she heard Mrs. Roosevelt, she said, "I went to hear Mrs. Roosevelt last night, and she was very nice. Newspapers are very deceiving, I guess. She talked to us in a very general way of the responsibility of youth to the future." And wow. It just captured it for me, because I have what I've always called the volunteer gene. And it's because I was raised in a family that truly believed in the value of service. So that was, you know, a model for me, and it was modeled by my parents' parents and on down the line. So it was fun to put all that in perspective, because at times I would sit at my computer and my muse was, how did this world get so messy? Mm-hmm. And what it really comes back to and distills to is good education, volunteer service. Those are the core values that we need to push forward in our society. So yay for Live PC, Give PC.
That's right.
Bonnie, I'm sure you were surprised to sit there while you were putting this together and think about all the moving parts and pieces that had to come in alignment to result in this book. I mean, you had to have parents who were doing what your parents were doing, listening to the radio and making notes. I mean, that's kind of incredible to think that that sort of record was created for you to then bring about, you know, this final product of a memoir.
Yeah. There is a lot of jumping around in time. And what's most interesting to me, as you know, I moved here in the 1970s. And I was supposed to be following the marching orders of the liberal arts education. And I went to Skidmore College in New York State 1 year, and then I transferred to the University of Utah. Well, I landed in Park City in the 1970s. I was a kid. And so I've been able to weave, you know, my life, because my editor, Stacy Domalski, said, you know, Bonnie, you're old enough that your history is interesting, too. Of course, I didn't want to admit that, but she was right, right. Once again. So, so just to, you know, make it a parallel from where my parents ended up and where I ended up, they were in their house for 46 years. My husband and I have been in our house for almost 40. It's hard to believe, but, you know, I grew up here pretty much.
Right. We're speaking with Bonnie Park. She is the author of The Brides of 1941. It is newly released. Well, it's in the process of being released. You've had a book signing at Dolly's already.
Actually,
right?
The book signing at Dolly's is coming up on Small Business Saturday. So Thanksgiving weekend, Saturday. It released on Amazon this past Friday. And yeah, so it's interesting being the newly indie author person with a huge learning curve. Our local friend Katie Mullally did the interior design of my book, and she has been an amazing coach in helping me move through the self-publishing. So what I learned was when an author orders a quantity on Amazon, it takes a while. So I don't get my books in hand until the 19th. Which is why the book signing at Dolly's got pushed back a little bit. But it is available on Amazon now, and I've had people texting me pictures of them holding the book and excited to read it.
Oh, that's great. Well, congratulations. And just one final question. Just have a few seconds left, but wondering what it makes you think about the lost art of the written letter and how you might replace that with something that reflects current technology to keep those stories alive.
You know, I talk about that, and it's short of somebody's journal or a blog, mm-hmm. or some, I say, you know, emails that have been printed out and saved from whatever future technology we'll have, you know, down the road. That's about it. It's just such a lost art.
Yes. Bonnie Park, thanks for stopping by the studios today, and congratulations.
Thanks so much for having me.